Colossians chapter 2 in your New Testament. And we'll read verses 1 through 10, start out with this morning. Colossians 2. For I would that ye knew, this is Paul writing, he's writing from prison in Rome, by the way. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, to the Colossians. I have for you, Colossians. And for them at Laodicea, a city not very far from Colossae. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Father, take your word today and use it in a special way in the life and in the soul and in the spirit of each one that's assembled here this morning. Father, I pray, Lord God, for help for my stammering tongue. I pray, Lord God, that you would guide and direct my thoughts. Help me, Lord God, to have good recall of what I have studied and prepared for. And Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me. Use me, Lord God, to reach these people. They've not come to hear me. They've come to hear your word. And it's your word that will be effective if we give heed to it. And so help this morning. Work in a mighty and a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me introduce just the book of Colossians, the idea that's going on in Colossians. In verse 1 of chapter 2 here, Paul says, I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. Apparently, Paul did not know very many of the Colossian Christians, the people in the church at Colossae. He knew the pastor, some of the pastors, Philemon, Philemon's son, probably Archippus. He knew them. He maybe have met them at Ephesus, and they had moved on to Colossae and either found believers there or made converts there and started a church. And so now Paul's writing to Christians that he doesn't know. And even though he doesn't know them, he says, I have a great conflict. What great conflict I have for you. And what that word is trying to express is the jealousy of his heart. Maybe jealousy is not the proper term. The earnestness, the care in his heart that he had for them. He had heard that people in Colossae had trusted Christ as Savior. And he had heard that people in Laodicea had trusted Christ as Savior. But then he had heard that false doctrine was moving in. An early form of the Gnostic heresy. And I don't need to go into that this morning, but a cult-like doctrine, a false doctrine was moving in. And even though he did not know these Christians personally, Paul had conflict. He was ready to fight for their steadfastness in Christ. He had a conflict of heart. He had a churning in his bowels for these Christians because of the false doctrine that they were going to face. And so I think key central here to this entire passage is verse 6. Will you look at verse 6 with me? It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. He said, I've heard that you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And I wonder, and that's who I want to preach to this morning, is those that have received Christ Jesus the Lord. And I wonder, I won't ask for a show of hands, but if I ask for a show of hands, could you raise your hand that you would be able to say, yes, I have received Christ Jesus the Lord. What does that mean? That means you realize that you need it.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus the Lord. You realize you were a sinner. You realize you had broken God's law by committing sin, and that if you died in your sins, you would spend eternity in the flames of hell, eternal conscious torment in the lake of fire. But you heard that there was a way out.
Amen.
You heard that there was a man called Jesus, but he was not like any other man. He was God the Son. And you heard that though he had never sinned, he died a sinner's death in payment for your sins and for mine. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. God proved by raising him from the dead that his sacrifice was acceptable in payment for our sins. And you heard that all you need to do to receive him as your Savior is repent and trust in him.
Amen.
If you would say, I have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's who I'm talking to today. Whether that was yesterday that you received him, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago that you received him. If you say, I have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's who I'm talking to today. It says in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There's a little bitty word at the beginning of verse 6, as, in the way that you received him, that's how you're going to walk in him. How did you receive him? You received him by faith. So how are you going to walk in him? By faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so that's the key here this morning, is walking in Christ. And all of these verses 1 through 10, I think this verse is central. If you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, now walk in him. Walk in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't mean how you put your physical feet one in front of the other. It means how you conduct yourself now in your life. How you live your life and how you grow in Christ. How you be productive in Christ and fruitful. Walk in Christ. Here's my thought today, and the title of the message, if you take notes, is this: what you must be to walk the walk. What you must be to walk the walk. And this is one of these long Apostle Paul run-on sentences. Sometimes you're reading Paul and you think, does this guy even know what a period is? Because he don't seem to use very many. So I'm not going to try to exposit this entire passage. That would take months of preaching to do so effectively. And I wouldn't be effective at it anyway. But I'm going to take a few things I see in here. What you must be to walk the walk. And I see in verse 2, Paul desires and prays this for the Colossian Christians, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. What you must be to walk the walk, number one, be knit. Be knit. Become a part of the very fabric of the local church. Be knit together in love. Become a part of the fellowship, the bonds of friendship and love that are shared among the people in this room or in any Bible-believing church like this. Be knit together in love. If you expect to walk the walk, if you expect to walk in Christ Jesus for very long at all, if you expect to be fruitful in Christ, if you expect to grow as a Christian, if you expect to do anything we would say is walking the walk, you've got to be knit. You've got to be knit. Whether you trusted Christ, hey, maybe you trusted Christ yesterday and you just, this is the first time you're here. I don't see anybody here like that, but suppose that's you, or suppose whether it's you, whether that's you, or whether it's you trusted Christ 20 years ago. Let me say this to you. Get in all the way. Get in with both feet. Get in with your whole person. Be knit. It says that their hearts might be knit together in love. Get in with your heart. Get in. You know what it means to be knit, by the way? It doesn't mean I make one connection. That's not knit, that's knotted. Okay, don't be a knothead, be a nitwit. No, I didn't say that. It doesn't mean make one connection, it means make multiple connections. Being knit is multiple connections. Don't just attach yourself to the pastor or the pastor's wife. Don't just attach yourself to you one friend that you have in the church. It says be knit. Be knit. I brought something here that's knit. It's just an old sock. Don't worry, it's clean. It is old, but it's knit. And if you were to look at this very closely, you would see every piece of string has multiple connections to the strings around them. That's what it means to be knit. You notice it says, look again at verse 2, that their hearts might be comforted being knit together in love. Why do you need to be knit? So you can be comforted. What would happen? Let me just take this knit sock here. And let's say this is a body of believers that are knit together in love. What would happen if one of those believers is just dragged down by the world, dragged down by circumstances, pulled down, maybe by their own sin or maybe through no fault of their own. They're pulled down and they're just being dragged down. Do you realize what happens when they're knit? They get pulled back up. It's for your comfort. Be knit together in love. Get in all the way. Let me say, I'm already in. Let others in. You know what? Somebody comes along and you say, well, I don't know about that guy. Don't say that. Isn't that what they said? Here's Saul of Tarsus. Persecuted the church. And then he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he got converted. And then he went to church. You know what they said? I don't know about that guy. I don't know about that. But it didn't take long. They let him in. And they were knit together. And how would the history of the world and the New Testament have been different if they just continued? I don't know about that guy. We're not gonna be knit together with him. Get in all the way, but let him in all the way. Let me say this out. Also, be knit. Don't stay on the edge. I said this is an old sock. You see, in parts, it's starting to unravel. But what's unraveling first? The pieces on the edge. Not the pieces with multiple connections right in the middle of it all. It's the pieces on the edge. Don't stay on the edge. Trouble comes along, you'll be the first to unravel. Difficulty comes along, situations come along, things come along that threaten, you'll be the first to unravel. Be knit. You want to walk. I want to walk. I want to walk in Christ. I want to grow in Christ. I want to abound therein with thanksgiving. If you want to walk, you got to be knit. What must you be to walk the walk? Number one, be knit. Be knit. Number two, look again at verse 2. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Here's number two. What must you be to walk the walk? In order to grow in Christ, in order to have a relationship with Christ that is consistent and is fruitful and is constant, what must you be to walk the walk? Number one, be knit. But number two, be assured. Be assured. You know, it's, look again at verse 2. There are riches of the full assurance. It's one thing to be saved. And if you're saved, praise God that you're saved. But it's another thing entirely, and another blessed thing entirely, to be assured of salvation. Some people, and you've heard people give testimony, I got saved on February the 35th of 1842 BC, and I have never doubted it since. So you give me a dirty look. She's like, what? No. I praise the Lord. Somebody has a testimony that they've never doubted it from the day they got saved. I praise the Lord. I love to hear that. That's not my testimony. That's not my testimony. I trusted Christ for salvation. And I was probably 4 or 5 years old. My mother explained the gospel to me. I understood it. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I would go to hell without Jesus. And by myself, without her prompting me, without her telling me this is what you need to do, just after her explaining the gospel to me, I walked into the front bedroom closet. We lived at 212 South 12th Street in Kansas City, Kansas. And I walked in the front bedroom closet there, and I knelt on the floor of that front bedroom closet, and I trusted Christ and called on the Lord for salvation. And I have no doubt in my mind that I was born again that day in 1970, whatever. Sometime after that, you know, there were times I fell into sin, and I'd lay up at night and say, how could a born-again Christian indwelt by the Spirit of God be carrying on like that? Am I really saved? And there were times, there were days where I felt like I could take on the world for Christ today, and tomorrow I'd wake up and I don't even feel saved. And looking at my feelings, I don't even feel saved. There were times of backsliding where I was like the man in 2 Peter. I'd forgotten that I was purged from my old sins. I cannot see afar off. I couldn't see the sweet by and by because I was staring at the nasty now and now. That I praise God for somebody that's saved and never doubted it. That's not my testimony, and I wrestled with that. Then when I got older and started learning a little more doctrine, then I would look back on that 4 or 5 year old. I don't even remember if I was 4 or 5. I look back on that 4 or 5 year old and say, could a 4 or 5 year old even understand enough to get saved? And I doubt it that way. And I doubted it from every angle you can doubt it from. And let's say I was 5 years old when I got saved. I didn't have assurance of salvation for 25 years later. I was 30 years old. I remember that my company sent me off to class, and I could have went to lunch and the company would have paid for it. But I was just struggling. I was wrestling with my salvation. So everybody else in the class went to lunch, and I stayed in the classroom, and I just Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday at lunchtime, I just wrestled with the Lord. Am I even saved? Am I really saved? And something happened. Instead of, you know, on Monday and Tuesday that week, I had been saying, could I have understood it? Or how could I have done this if I was saved? Was I sincere enough then? Did I say the right words in my sinner's prayer? And by the way, there's no right words because, it's not by prayer, it's by faith. But, you know, it was, my doubt was always about me. I was questioning, did I? And by Wednesday, instead of asking, did I? I don't know. I started asking, did he? Amen. Did he? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Amen. Yes, he did. Did he do everything that was necessary to secure my salvation? How could he not have? Did he promise the God that cannot lie? Did he promise eternal life? Yes, he did. Here's where I got. If you'll turn with me, I think you'll see it in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. That's where I got that Wednesday. It wasn't full assurance of self or full assurance of my sincerity or full assurance of my understanding or full assurance of anything about me. It was full assurance of faith. Yes, I had trusted Christ. Yes, I understood that Jesus was my Savior, that Jesus had died to pay the penalty for my sins. But it wasn't about me. It was about Him. It was full assurance of faith. And I got what Colossians 2 calls the riches of the full assurance. That was the moment that I began to really grow in Christ. That was the moment that I could walk in Christ. That was the moment that all of that Christian doctrine that I had learned for years finally sunk in and I could be fruitful in Christ. I had the full assurance, the riches of the full assurance. You want to walk in Christ? You want to grow? How are you going to build? The Bible talks about building in the Christian life. How are you going to build if your foundation is constantly shaken by doubt? You want to flourish in Christ? You want to be fruitful in Christ? You want to walk with the riches of assurance in your pocket as you walk? Be assured. Be assured. Listen, get it nailed down. If you have doubts about your salvation, maybe you're saved and doubting. It could be you're not saved. I don't know. I'm saying you need to get it nailed down. If you have any doubt at all, you need to get it nailed down. Stop tossing and turning at night, asking, am I truly born again? Stop staying up late, wondering, fearful of the flames of hell, when you know you trusted Christ. Get it nailed down. How are you going to walk? Get it nailed down. Be knit. Be assured. What you must be to walk the walk. Come down to verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I'm going to call all of verse 7 this. What you must be to walk the walk, be rooted. Be rooted. That word rooted is an interesting word. I looked that up in the Greek lexicon. And that's the word. It's almost the same word in the Greek as a word in English called rhizomes. How many of you remember biology? You know what rhizomes are. Rhizomes are the roots under the ground, like of grass. Did you know that grass grows in two directions? There's a direction upward that we can see, but it also grows downward and out under the ground. Those are called rhizomes. And that's this word rooted here. Look here at the Christian in verse 7. Rooted and built up. That's growing in multiple directions there, isn't it? Rooted down, deep in Christ, and built up. Well, why is that important? My family's been attempting to cut the grass here at church on a weekly basis. There's been so much rain. Boy, we just have to work around the rain. But it's so interesting. You know, we can push the mower along the grass and whack it down, whack it way down, and come back a mere 7 days later, and it's had some water, and it's had some sun, and it's grown back up. Why does it do that? Because it's rooted. Because it's rooted.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I want to be. I don't want to get whacked down, but sometimes it happens, don't it? I don't want to be cut down by the situations and the things that come along. I don't want to be mowed down. But if I get mowed down, I want to be able to grow back up with a little water, washing of water by the word.
Amen.
A little bit of sun, S-O-N. Yeah. I want to grow back up. How can I do that? If I'm rooted. This is get deep. And notice what you're rooted in. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith. In the faith. This is not just your faith. This is the faith. This is the body of Christian doctrine. This is the faith once delivered to the saints. We find it in the Bible. Established in the faith. As ye have been taught. How do I get rooted? I want to grow back up when I get mowed down. I got to get rooted. How do I get rooted? I got to be taught. I got to be established. I got to get deep in Christ. I got to learn doctrine. I got to learn this book. There's an old saying, a Bible that is falling apart is usually owned by a Christian that's not. Why? They're rooted. They're rooted. How are you going to walk a consistent walk? How are you going to flourish? How are you going to grow in Christ? You got to get rooted. You got to get rooted. You got to be taught. You got to learn. You got to start learning for yourself and learning from others. You got to get rooted in the faith if you're going to walk the walk. What you must be to walk the walk? Be knit. Have your heart knit together in love. Be assured. Be rooted. And I bet you can guess the last point as soon as I read verse 8. Beware. Anybody guess it yet? Am I good at giving hints or what? Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that is, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that interesting? In Jesus Christ, everything that God is dwells bodily in Christ. But there's more to it than that. Verse 10, and ye are complete in Him. Everything that God is in Christ, and if you're in Christ, you're complete. Well, what's that mean? That means number 4, I've got to beware. Beware. Beware, verse 8, lest any man spoil you. What does that word spoil mean? That means to take captive, to lead away captive, to kidnap you and haul you away. Haul you away from what? Haul you away from Christ. Well, I thought once I'm saved, I can never be lost. I thought I'm in the Father's hand and in Christ's hand and I can't be plucked out. That's true, you can't, but you can be hauled away from your walk. You can be hauled away from the church. You can be hauled away from walking in the light. And there's somebody out there desiring to do that. The Bible says, watch out for them. Beware. They're out there with their false doctrine and their checklist. They want to check your name off on their list. I got another one. The devil wants to check your name off his list. I got another one. I pulled another one away from a walk with Christ. Well, how do they do this? Look at this, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through, number 1, through philosophy. Through philosophy. What does that mean? I'm not supposed to take philosophy 101 in college? Well, it probably won't help you if you do take it, but that's, what's that mean? Through philosophy. Well, any concept of how you're to live your life that doesn't come from God's Word. Through philosophy. And vain deceit. How else will they pull you away? Vain deceit.
notions like evolution, other tricks that they pull. Through philosophy and vain deceit.
Look at verse 8. After the tradition of men.
A lot of religions out there that aren't based on the Word of God. That aren't based on what God says, but based on what some man has said.
After the rudiments of the world, they'll pull you away with worldliness. Basically, after anything that's into verse 8, that's not after Christ. Beware. Beware. How am I going to walk the walk? You got to beware.
Listen, when you walk into the Christian bookstore, you got to beware. Not everything in the Christian bookstore is Christian. Not everything on the Christian radio or Christian television is Christian. In fact, most of it probably isn't.
Beware. Not everything calling itself Christian music is Christian. Most of it probably isn't. Beware. Beware.
You know, it's, as I was studying this, I thought, it is no accident that verse 7, the instruction to be rooted, comes before verse 8, the instruction to beware. How can I beware unless I'm rooted?
Right.
How do I know what to beware of? Anything that I didn't get rooted in. Beware. Have you received Christ Jesus the Lord like verse 6 says? Now you're supposed to walk in Him. Now you're supposed to walk in Him. Now you're supposed to grow in Christ. Now you're supposed to be fruitful. Now you're supposed to have a walk with the Lord and sweet relationship with the Lord. What must you be to walk that walk? Be knit. Are you knit? Is your heart knit together in love here in this place? I was going to mention this earlier and I didn't think of it, but I think of a family I knew years ago, probably now 15 years ago. Family I knew in Kansas, and where they were all about saying amen when the preacher preached. They were all about giving to missions and giving to the Lord's work. They were all about seeing people saved, but you could just tell they didn't want to be knit. They didn't want to be knit. Come into church right before the first hymn and hit the door at the last amen. And that every service, for years, every service. And something happened. I don't even know what. Don't even remember what, don't even care. Something happened, and because they weren't knit, guess what? They were gone.
Sure.
Years later, I visited another church. My family and I visited another church. And guess who walked in right before the first note of the first hymn and sat down and walked out as soon as the preacher said, and their kids were years older and taller. There's more gray in their hair. But even there, they weren't knit. Why would somebody want to be like that? Oh, because I've been burned elsewhere. Yeah, we all have. Oh, because I just want to be anonymous. I just want to, I used to feel like that. I used to feel like I just want to go to a big church where nobody knows my name. But you can't, I couldn't be knit. Maybe you could be knit there. I couldn't be knit there. And that's what I wanted at the time. Be knit. If you're going to walk a consistent walk, be knit. Number 2, be assured. Get it nailed down. Don't spend another day in doubt. Be assured. Number 3, be rooted. Be rooted.
I want to grow up. But I can't grow up unless I've grown deep. Number four, beware. Take what anybody tells you. A preacher behind a pulpit, a book you've read, or anything else, and compare it to the Word of God. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul, he walked into a church, or started a church, I should say, in a city called Berea. Here he is, the Apostle Paul. We take every word we know of his, we take it as the inspired Word of God. He walks in and preaches, and he sees them open the Old Testament and say, is what he said really true? He don't get mad about it. He says, these were more noble because they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so.
Yes.
Beware. Beware. Well, I want to walk the walk. You want to walk the walk? What must you be to walk the walk? Let's stand for prayer and the invitation. Father God, help us today, Lord, to renew our walk in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for anyone here today who's never received Christ, perhaps who is not assured of their faith in Christ, or for any other thing, Lord God, that has touched a soul today, I pray, Father God, that you would minister to their heart, that they would get their need settled with you. Lord, whether they need to speak with me or with someone else or simply need to kneel at the altar and pray, I just pray that you would meet needs as the pianist plays. If you're here today as the pianist plays,